What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Overdunk episode 25. A very special one today. We're calling this one, or at least I'm titling it, Overdunk LFT. As you everybody knows, we had recently a huge tournament of the AOS Cup. However, in the mad dash for the last few tournaments, only a week until the next qualifiers, Worlds just around the corner, lots of stuff has happened in the last couple of days, honestly, and we have a lot of players who are currently looking for team, looking to see if they can form a new roster. Some of that's already been happening. But on this episode, what we're going to try to do, we're going to talk a little bit about, at the start of the show, about some of the current rosters that are confirmed that we do know of. We'll discuss some of those, talk about what they're looking like, maybe how this happened. I don't know, just some basic discussion. You know how it is. And then after that, we are going to be going through as many top players that are currently looking for team that the three of us know of. And I'll introduce my guests here in just a second. But just to explain the format, that's what we're going to be doing. We're just going to go through these players, mention them all. Full disclosure, some of these players may have already found teams within the last, 24 hours or whatever when I started looking and trying to fill out this Google Doc. Just the nature of things. Again, time is flying. Tournament is this weekend. So if we mention a player and they're already on a team, our apologies. But otherwise, we may have mentioned some that we also may miss some players. Again, we didn't have as much time, but we're trying to hit everything we can, and I'm sure you guys are going to be along for the ride. But that being said, it's not just me on the microphone today. It's actually going to be two of my favorite people in the whole world. But I actually have Dupesnacks and Faz with me to discuss all of these prospects. So Dupesnacks, why don't you give yourself a quick little introduction?
Old Snacks. Everybody who's here knows who I am. So let's get to the important person. Faz, take it away.
I'm Faz. I'm one of Zoinks' favorite people in the world. I'm here to help any way I can, give knowledge on some of these players that, maybe people aren't well versed in their history.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's really important. I mean, with AOS Cup, this is a huge tournament, and like we had a lot of viewership this weekend. It was fantastic. But when something like that happens and we get new viewers to the scene, a lot of the time they have no idea who these players are other than just the screen name and the waiting for lobby. So if we can just do more introduction, more service of them, that's exactly what I want our show to do, honestly. So the more we can do that, and the more we have a player like you, Faz, who knows this scene, knows these players even better, Dupesnacks and I can only talk about what we see in the server. So it's awesome to have you on. But that being said, like I mentioned, at the start of the show, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the rosters that have already formed. But first, unfortunately, we got to discuss a little bit of the aftermath. So first off, Faz, let's get it out of the way. Unfortunately, Team Blossom has come to an end after this tournament. I know you guys were talking about maybe even last tournament, calling it there, but ended up being the case this time around, and you are currently looking for team, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, I know that's the kind of the case for your whole squad, but you guys are just such phenomenal players. Team Blossom, you guys have a ton of amazing placements. Individually, as players, of course, you guys are mechanically gifted players. I know you're going to find spots, no problem. Not to mention, I think you guys all have a really solid amount of championship points to your name, which should not go understated when we're talking about this. But
absolutely.
Yeah. Let's talk about EU quick, though, because this was the other, I think, the biggest shock out of everything. Dupesnacks, talk to me a little bit about the decision with the top team in EU right now.
Listen, Akroma got kicked after they won the AOS Cup. So a kid is part of the squad that earns 10K for the group. Gets a pretty good shout out and felt like, 18 hours later.
Yeah.
Whatever the details are about how that went down, Chroma gets sent packing, and then about another 18 hours after that, Bruv, the streamer, is announced. A great defender player, to be fair. Yeah. Certainly, a quality individual. But I think what that almost felt like is, to me, it was almost like no one's safe. Like if that just happened, now no one's safe. And sure. To me, maybe the timeline is different, but the way the timeline shakes out to anybody that's just kind of tangentially paying attention on the fringes that aren't actually in those conversations is Akroma got kicked, and then it was mayhem. And then that was just like, kind of like you know, the first throw of food in a food fight in a cafeteria, right? It's just like everybody's quiet, and then like somebody just chucks some pudding across the room, and everybody just looks around for a second, goes, "All right, go time!" And everybody starts scooping up their trays and launching stuff all over the room. So it's, I mean, for me, it was gutting, you know, getting to watch Random Gaming win. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, Zoinks, you've done an episode of Overdunk with them. Mm-hmm. Quality individuals. Yep. They seem to have very great chemistry. I don't know what the background is, but I mean, it was rough to watch, you know, as sure. as a perpetual spectator of this esport. It was a rough go, and I knew we were in for a wild ride when Blaine came through and was like, it's just starting.
Yeah.
This is just, I was like, oh, here we go. Okay.
Let's face it, we've gotten our fair amount of ominous messages put in some of the pro player discords for Unite. I think Blaine's one that was, this is only the beginning, was a little terrifying. Faz, I want to ask you, you've been a part of esports for a long time. Specifically, you've grinded up in a couple of different esports, you know, starting at the bottom in like these tier 2-3 situations and then climbing all the way to the top. Is this kind of par for the course? Like, I know a lot of people are shocked this is happening in the scene, but it feels somewhat similar to me to other tier 2 scenes and things like that. Do you agree, or is this something completely new?
I actually talked about this on Late Night with Doomstacks.
Shout out.
A month ago, I think. There's no love lost. It's very cutthroat esports. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I thought it was a crazy move, but you know, I know we're sad for Akroma, but how about probably the best tank in the game going to the team that's won everything? Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
I mean, if Worlds is the goal, and I feel like that team should be a lock to go to Worlds, but mm-hmm. I think now, you know, they could be one of the favorites to win as well. Yeah. To me, it's almost like a Kevin Durant going to the Golden State Warriors after they won situation. Like, right. It is that crazy where this team has won everything and they just got better. But mm-hmm. yeah, hearts go out to Akroma. Yep. Super sad to see.
Mm-hmm.
I think that my main complaint with it is how it was done. I touched on that. They definitely should have maybe made a public statement as a team. You know, finding out through the person who got kicks Twitter, it was a bit odd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got it. It felt late for sure. So yeah, definitely Random Game could have been done better, but hey, a solid option to be picked up is Bruv. So yeah, Random Gaming with the new roster. Just quick rundown for people who don't know: Gatlu, Bruv, Adesu, Geese, and Redmaw makes up that team. So a very, very strong contender in EU for sure. But Akroma's a very strong player. I'm confident they'll find a home. But that wasn't all that happened in EU as well. For the team of five guys, Bruv's former team did completely split. So that team is done. So we definitely have some other players amongst there are going to be looking for team right now. I saw tweets from Bazid and Tans. We'll talk about those players a little bit later in the show. No confirmed tweets from either Eberling or Potato that I've seen, but that doesn't mean those players aren't currently looking for team. So definitely we'll have to discuss those a bit more in the show. The other big change that happened in EU before we get to NA, PogChamp also decided to drop a player. Cracky's no longer on that team. So really rough time out there for Blissey players in this most recent patch. But yeah, that Cracky's also dropped another phenomenal player. Not sure who PogChamp is going to be going after. The other team that did get dropped was 6E Squad. Zephyr White completely disbanded as well. So five guys and Zephyr White, the two teams that had the disband. And yeah, other than that, that seems to be splitting up. I know that EU is still trying to kind of put the pieces back together of their rosters. Random Gaming seems to be the first one to solidify after these changes. I think we're still waiting on what PogChamp is going to choose and things like that. So definitely some available talent left in the pool now, which is always an exciting time. It sucks that it comes with being released from teams for sure, but I mean, talent going back into the pool is always an exciting time. I think the biggest concern for me is just timeline. Like, it's wild that because of this tournament getting moved back, like, we have so many tough situations, and like May qualifiers being literally this weekend is a tough look.
If I could just chime in with my two cents just about the EU scene as a whole. So I think Faz kind of nailed it, right? I think Random Gaming now, like, you know, has not only was, I think, a head above all the other teams. And I think, you know, the skill level that Bruv brings, I don't want to say it's a negligible difference between a Chroma and Bruv. They're making the move for a reason, right? At least you'd like to think to. So we'll put down the assumption that that puts them even further ahead. Yeah. But this, like the chaos, just kind of the Thanos snapping of all the other teams, and there was really only like four other ones that were contending, two of which have just blown up. I mean, if you consider the first spot locked, I consider the second spot wide freaking open now. And there's for sure. there's potential for some of these teams that haven't had that amount of championship points to really just kind of come in, solidify quickly, and then kind of beat the brakes off of somebody here in this weekend and really just kind of express lane their way through May and through June as well. So if I'm trying to stay positive about what's going on, I mean, I think some other teams just got a really good opportunity at making worlds now. And I think that's something worth mentioning.
Yeah, definitely. Faz, any more words on EU? Any specific teams other than Random Gaming that you're maybe looking out for now that there's a bit of a shakeup, or is EU kind of off the radar for you?
I would say PogChamp, because they were the other team besides Random Gaming who I believe was winning everything, right?
Top fours, constantly.
Yeah, they won, like, you know, prior, I think, cups March. And just other different tournaments here and there. I think they were super good as well. So for them to, in the panic that is roster getting, make changes as well, it's crazy.
Yeah. Roster getting's a good word for it. Yeah, I mean, it's so shocking to me. I mean, the all French squad makes a change. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out for sure. So I'll have to, you know, get in Pump's ear and figure out what's going on, because I know he's the main French caster over there. He can give me some more intel. Let's jump over to NA then. So we're talking about these. We're talking about some more NA rosters. We already mentioned
Lutano raiding with 200, buddy.
Oh my gosh. Okay, thank you so much, Lutano. Okay, so Lutano viewers, if you're first time here, first off, the channel is Unite Mics. Hey, what's going on? We'd love to bring great commentary as well as a couple of podcasts about the scene. So this is Overdunk, the competitive Pokemon Unite show. This is a very special episode you're tuning into. This is the LFT episode. So after AOS Cup, a ton of team changes, a ton of shakeups, a lot of players currently looking for homes. And that is what we are trying to showcase today. So going through a ton of players, talking about some new rosters and all that stuff. So let's get back into it, guys. North America is what we are talking about now. A few changes, of course. Lutano viewers, don't worry. Gaming Gladiators still sticking with their five. So have no fear on that one. Faz, yes, the Team Blossom did end up completely splitting up. I don't know if any other teams completely split. I know IX Gaming dropped three of their players, so a bigger swap, and there were some other changes. IX Gaming, though, we now have a roster of Rin, Retsu, Nudo, Pikadiff, and OG. So a brand new squad definitely seems like they're looking to, like, you know, cause a lot of damage in the scene.
I mean, a lot of championship points sitting across those players, right? Yeah. And that's important. You mentioned that before. You know, it's all going to be how quickly they can coalesce and kind of come together. I think that's the story of NA, has been the teams that have stuck together the longest. And I said this kind of on you know, this past weekend during the AOS Cup, and the ones now, the teams that have survived and kind of overcome adversity and kind of been able to work past these kind of roster gettins, as Faz called them. They've been able to be the ones to see success. So for me, it's going to be all these teams that have just been shaken up. How are you going to gel as, like, human beings? Because obviously you have skill in the game. And how is that going to translate into these tournaments? Because obviously Blossom is incredibly skilled. And splitting apart, that just opens the door again for more opportunities for other teams. And now IX Gaming, you better believe, are trying to come for the top spot. That's without a doubt.
Absolutely. I mean, let's face it as well. One of the teams that pays too. So that's going to be a nice appealing for them. Faz, were you about to mention something with that?
I was just going to touch on the championship points thing. Sure. When you join a roster with many championship points, you pretty much guarantee yourself a good seed going into the qualifier. So that gives you a lot of breathing room in terms of figuring stuff out, knowing you probably will make that top 16 cup. And, you know, you have a lot of time to practice. So I wouldn't be too worried about, you know, the role swaps going on and just the gelling of people. I definitely think they can figure it out. I think they have 2 weeks, right? Until the final.
Yeah. Wow. All right, our timeline's crazy. Like, seriously, we are sprinting right now. May, which also, like, it's not important for some teams, so important for other teams. But yeah, go ahead, Dupes next.
I was just gonna piggyback off that. I completely understand what Faz is saying in terms of like you believe in your ability even on a rough start to make it to the top 16.
Uh-huh.
But what we haven't been seeing is those teams translate into success
exactly
in the top 16. You know, in the finals portion of those tournaments. So that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for somebody to buck the trend a little bit. I think the closest thing we've had was Blossom, but even then, like, you guys were still together much longer than 80% of the other teams that were in that top 16 bracket. And that's kind of what gives me pause with these shakeups.
Sure.
I don't know. Like, the first thing that sticks to my mind is like a team like Gengar's Goons. Like, they came out, like, nobody gave them the credit that they deserved for a team that had been together so long. And when it came to tournament time, they just showed out. And everybody's like, where did this team come from? And it's like the only people that knew Gengar's Goons had it in them was Gengar's Goons. And
it wasn't for that darn alarm clock. But yeah, continue.
Brutal. But you know what I'm saying? Like, they earned, like, they repped it out. They went through the misery of just losing and not getting there, not getting there. And then finally were able to show out on, like, one of the biggest events that they had the opportunity to. So
yeah,
that's kind of what's in my mind when I see these rosters shake up.
If I'm an IX fan, I would not be worried about that team shaping up. Because I feel like Rin and Retsu work harder than almost everyone in the scene and improving, and especially like Retsu now that he's going to be on a new role, like he's going to be grinding really hard. And I wouldn't be worried about their ability to like get it together and probably like at least, you know, top four, top eight in the final.
Yeah, no,
if not win, right? Like any day, anyone can win in this game, of course.
Yeah, that is true. We've seen a lot of toss-ups. Consistency does rule in some regions. North America seems to be a little bit of an exception sometimes. But yeah, and I see some people asking in our chat right now as well, what role? We assume Retsu is going to be on the support role. I have no official confirmation from a team or from Retsu's mouth himself. However, that is my assumption and what I've seen a little bit of people discussing. So if you are wondering who's going to be top lane, I think it would be wild to take OG off of the top lane role. I think it fits their personality and their play style. So I think it'd be great to keep it up. So that is IX gaming roster. The other major like top team that we're seeing a shakeup with in North America is going to be Black Hand. So Black Hand, maybe not as much of a shakeup or a return to the days. Jungle Book has come out of retirement and has returned to play the jungle role for Black Hand. So this means Chaotic is now a free agent. Of course, we'll be talking about them in just a little bit. But Black Hand has now gained Jungle Book back, a super popular player, very, very fantastically strong. They found so much success back, especially back in the Dragonite meta. It was really, really big for them. Black Hand was on an absolute heater in that tournament. Jungle Book's back.
Book is back. I mean, I'm excited. I've always loved watching Jungle Book get the play. I think I was right up there with you, Zoinks, when kind of got a little deflated when they said, like, hey, we're stepping away. And we didn't, you know, obviously you can't predict the future. We didn't know they'd be coming back. We're like, man, that's kind of a player that you like to watch. You know what I mean? They're kind of exciting and really put a good charge into a game when you're casting it. You know, obviously we'll talk about Chaotic, bummer for them. But if you go back into the history of this squad, you know, Jungle Book was there and Chaotic was six. They're the first man off the bench. You know what I mean? So I can't say that this is such a surprising switch out, of course, you know, to make room, somebody has to get cut. That's the nature of it. But just speaking strictly on Book, man, I'm glad they're back.
Yeah. No kidding. Faz, what's your opinion on Jungle Book?
I feel like he's one of the most talented people in the scene, and it was really hard for him to not, like, it was hard to watch him not be here, because I feel like any team he would have been on would have been super successful over the last couple months. It's great to see him back. I think my only worry for Black Hand is they obviously play much different characters to Chaotic, and I don't know how well-versed Jungle Book will be on, you know, possibly the Blastoise and stuff like that, or the Talon that they were definitely running lately, but you know, definitely the ranged carry Cinderace Greninja he was really good at when he was playing back in the day.
Yeah
So was I, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Ascendance or Black Hand switch gears to Chaotic because Chaotic at the time was kind of like just straight up Talonflame one trick for a bit there. So they kind of like, okay, like we got to lean into Chaonic if we're going to make this work. So maybe that's the switch up that's going to happen. If Book comes in and it opens up the possibilities for other characters to be played, maybe more into the play style they would want to lean into. I know, you know, Big Brain Excellence, you know, going to be quarterbacking them through that. And maybe, you know, they just see the potential, the more doors open up for them to find success. Cause of course they are, you know, the perennial most consistent team we've had in NA so far, top fouring every single major event. However, they've never gotten the top spot. And at the end of the day, I think anyone would choose a win and not placing top four every other time than continually placing top four and never winning.
Yeah, true. True. Faz, also, welcome to Unite Mics, where we are the biggest excellent fans in the entire world.
I'm a huge mark for excellent.
I feel like my plug is Metafy every single episode. So anyways, that's just kind of what you've chosen to be a part of by being on this episode. But Blackhead of Jungle Book is going to be an interesting role. One more note in North America I wanted to touch on is another player that dropped out this time because of their choices. BlackCH ended up having to step down from IXGT. BlackCH, a really, really incredible bot lane attacker and a little bit of that jungle pick before, had a drop out for IRL reasons. They knew they would not be able to travel to London for a Worlds-like event. I discussed it a bit with them. It is IRL reasons, but I just like, when that's said, I know that sometimes people can get it in their head, like doubts, like, oh, well, maybe it's that player's fault or something. I just need to like put a complete stop to that. Like, they did absolutely everything that could have been done on their end and like covered every base. Like Black is a very, very like responsible person and an amazing player. So unfortunately, it's just not going to work out this season, hopefully next season, but they are dropped. So IXGT, David actually messaged me about this episode. They are currently looking for jungle players. So that being said, IXGT looking to fill that spot. They got their main roster kind of locked up now. Now it's that one slot on the GT roster that needs to get picked up for IX to be rocking both teams in this next tournament. So that is our current roster situation as a whole. Any last notes on rosters, guys, before we jump into some player profiles and things like that?
Nope. I think you touched on it. Just to mentioned Black. I know he was also in contact with a lawyer, and he definitely did his due diligence trying to get it all sorted out. Mm-hmm. Also, you mentioned they were looking for a jungler, but I think they're also possibly looking for someone that can play attacker. It's like
true.
Either or, they're looking for just one more person.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know they have some pretty flexible players on that team, so they can look it up. So that's a very, very good shout. Jungle or attacker. So if you play those two roles, get in touch with some of those people on IXGT. Talk to Eknu, talk to David, get your spot in there. But all right, let's head to the main bulk of the show that we wanted to talk about. So we're just going to be kind of running through again. If you didn't hear my intro at the start, we're just running through a ton of the players that we know of that are LFT. They may have gotten picked up by a team already. They may have not. We're just going to be talking about players, a quick little discourse on each one, try to showcase them a little bit, talk about their strengths, what we know them for, and then we'll move on to the next one. And then this is what Overdunk LFT is all about, really. Just putting a showcase on players. We got a week until May qualifiers. We want everybody to have a spot. We want everybody to have the best chance at competition. So let's switch gears out of NA and let's jump into EU. And I think, of course, the first player that we're going to talk about is going to be Akroma. So let's talk about Akroma. Recently dropped from Random Gaming, unfortunately. They did tweet out, I believe it was today, that they're just like, they're ready to go again. They're very excited. Like, obviously, this is a really hard thing to deal with, but they want to find a team. They want to compete, and they want to prove, you know, to themselves and to their teammates that they can do it. So, guys, talk to me about Akroma. What really stands out about this player to you two?
Guys, you want me to go first?
Yeah, sorry.
I mean, a solid anchor player, right? When you're on the best team that ends first, second, first, they're certainly not doing many things wrong. We've gotten to watch them play quite a bit. And I think they just, they seemingly kind of seamlessly fit into a strategy. They're just kind of routinely executing what they need to be doing for their squad. You know, of course, they were playing an awesome Egg Bomb Blissey this past weekend. It looked very good in, you know, helping the team engage well. The Bliss assistants were at max distance almost all the time. so those were pretty crisp as well if, you know, you're obviously just looking for that Blissey role. But, I mean, what else can be said to Akroma? I mean, they've been on the best team going for the last 6 months or 8 months or whenever they formed themselves.
Yep.
And that's just the nature of the beast. They are a good player.
Yep. I think one of the best pieces you could ever have on a resume is February finals first, March finals second, AOS Cup first. That's a pretty good piece on the resume. They definitely have some really, really good placements, not just in those tournaments, in other ones as well. Rounded Games have been on the tear for a long time. Akroma, if anything else, they've also played with just the best of the best in EU. So they have experience strategy-wise, all that kind of thing. Any words on Akroma before we move on to the next player here, Fez?
The rings, like you said, speak for themselves, but also, like, if you're trying to beat Random Gaming, why wouldn't you get, ooh, you know, someone that was on the inside?
I love that. A little bit of that kryptonite action. Okay. All right. Well, let's move on to our next player in EU. This is going to be Vezeed. All right. If you've been in the scene, you know this player. Vezeed, he's got a fantastic stream. You got to check it out. Looking for a team right now. I know they had a potential retirement tweet. Vezeed, get that out of here. Get back on the team, please. They are currently looking for potentially support or defender. They listed to me that there are the two roles they're looking for. This guy's hilarious. Slots really well into pretty much any team, I think. But you guys take it away. Fez, any thoughts on Vezeed as a player?
Billy is one of the most personable, best personality people in the scene, and it's super sad if he does go the retirement route. I don't think anyone wants that. I feel like he's probably one of the most, like, probably has some of the most experience on bot lane out of, like, anyone, not just EU, but everyone. Yeah. He's been playing support since season one, playing pocket tins forever, so I feel like although that relationship might be over, the duo might be collapsed, I mean, he can fit in anywhere just fine, I think.
They got the shout out from Celestial in chat that confirmed best pocket Blissey, so that's a pretty big shout for sure. Deuce, next, any word on Vezeed?
I mean, that pretty much wraps it up. Great personality, great player, they've been around for a while, and they've just been on the cusp of taking down a big win. I mean, they're going to be a good part of the team. And this is, you know, if I'm kind of looking at this big restructuring that's happening in EU, you know, Vezeed's one of the first players I'd be targeting down now that I know that they're a free agent.
Absolutely. A really, really strong contender for a number one draft pick, if such a thing did exist. All right, great. Let's, like I said, we're going to keep on cruising. We're going to go into Zent Isane. So this is a fantastic player. You know, she had a lot of involvement in the Unite for Ukraine event that a lot of people have seen, but she's also played on Lofu Needs Pants and Imperial Esports. They are looking for top lane or jungle spots. And one of the biggest shoutouts is they have a fantastic Aegislash pick, which recently in the meta has been coming up in a pretty nice way. I can talk about Zen quite a bit, but before I go, do either of you two have any words on this player on EU?
Like you mentioned, I just know them for their edgy and how well they built their team for Unite for Ukraine, so I don't know, maybe they build their own team again. Maybe that is the play.
Yeah, seriously.
They obviously made a super successful squad and they're super knowledgeable about the game, so.
I think when we talked to you, because you were another GM in that tournament, I think we discussed, you're like, actually, she put together a pretty sick squad. She's kind of cutthroat. Yeah. She also directly attacked Nazu in that draft, but she was put before him. That's a strategy. Deuce next, any more thoughts on Zen?
That's exactly what I was going to harp. In this world of tumultuous times across these teams that seem to just turn to dust from one weekend to the next, Zen is certainly a person that has the power to keep a team together, which, again, as I've mentioned, from a personal standpoint, I think that's important. I'm not saying stay in toxic, you know, teams by any means, but you do need to be able to overcome at least some sort of adversity to grow and become the best. That's how the process works. So
I
think you're a person that can catalyze that for sure.
Yeah, I know you're a strong proponent of if you ride out the storm, you'll be stronger after. But yeah, Zentazane, I think just another shout is that if you've been in their stream, you just know, like, vibes are immaculate. Whenever you are playing with this player, you have them around. Zent is a very fantastic, has a great mind for the game, but also, you know, gives great criticism to other players in, like, a way that, you know, feels good and it's in, and you know, isn't just like really degrading or anything. They are fantastic at giving good criticism that actually helps the team. So that's gonna be my big shout present. I think that's really solid. A really solid pickup as well. And hey, I'm an Aegislash fanboy. So any player who can play more of the gigantic sword, I'm a big fan. Let's talk about Crackies a little bit. So I did not get a specific okay, no, it's all capital. We're good. I did not get a specific entry to my little Google form that I made from Crackies, but because they got dropped as a PogChamp, I decided that we should definitely discuss it. Now, I don't know if you guys are very familiar with this player, the all-French squad, so, but I did have PogChamp on my podcast before. I know Crackies is placed really, really well in that bot lane. Not the main shot caller for that team, but I know they made a lot of really good micro decisions with one of the best attackers in the game. And Waha Ben. So I know they were a nice little duo in that bot lane. Faz, did you get to watch any of Cracky's like Blissey play in this recent meta or anything like that?
Yeah, I think honestly I would put him right there with Vizina and Chroma where they could fit into any team and have huge success in that bot lane. Yeah. A super knowledgeable player with a ton of experience in the bot lane, and I feel like that is what sets people apart in bot lane usually, is just like the experience on different situations. And knowing what to do, when to do it, and just handling everything. Yeah, I definitely think they should be picked up immediately if you're looking for a bot lane.
It's crazy. The PogChamp situation, I mean, brings up a lot of questions. I mean, Crackies, where do they go? What team can they fill into? What strengths will they bring to it? But also, like, who's PogChamp picking up in that situation? Like, that's an interesting spot to fill. They were the more, like, support-oriented player, so it's not like the tank went to Blissey. They kind of put their support on the Blissey, as much as I can remember. So it'll be interesting to see where they end up. I'm sure they have a mean Hoopa in pocket as well. But Tupsnax, any more points, or do you want to start off our next player?
Real quick to touch on Crackies, I think you hit it on the head when their micro play is very, very good. They adjust quickly to things that are happening in game. A perfect example was actually this past weekend in the AOS Cup. Random Gaming was doing kind of a pseudo invade because they were doing the Protect the President with Bulbasaur in the jungle, which is that slower clear. And you immediately saw them once they picked up that was going to happen. They actually hid in a bush and jumped on the player from Random Gaming that was coming through the bottleneck onto their side of the central area. And those are the type of moves that, like, you need a player to do without being told, right? Mm-hmm. You have to be able to save that experience before it crumbles into your hands. And now everybody's just trying to roll to the central area to try and save your Bulbasaur as they're trying to clear their stuff. Sure. You know, then you're giving up the bot lane, and that's a ripple effect throughout, you know, the next 9 minutes of whatever the game is. And that's a play that really stuck out to me. It's just those quick micro adjustments, adjusting on the fly, and you just need somebody that can do that of their own accord, execute on that, make sure the team stays safe, and then that you can keep playing the game and you don't let something small like that snowball into something larger. And Cracky certainly has a mind for that. We've seen it time and time again. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Sure.
Before we jump to
if this show had what I like to call production to it, and if I was talented in that region, I'd have a highlight clip already pulled up for you and have it on the screen. But my talents don't lie there. Also, hey, sub to you, and I might get the budget. But yeah, okay. Dupsnax, I want you to kick it off on our next player as well. This is Tanz, or I'll type out their full name, I guess. This is Kid Tanz. I know you've interviewed them on Late Night Unite, the EU Central Area King. They plays a ton of Greninja, made it look good before anybody else. Why don't you kick it off, Dupsnax?
Yeah, I mean, they're an absolute mutant, right? I mean, they can come through and really just take over a game. You know, shades of NA, you know, Toon in NA right now that they're over there. That's the caliber of player they're on. Obviously, they're looking for a team to win. That's their only goal. That's exactly what they express to me. It's like, have a good time with the people I'm with, you know, within reason. But, you know, I'm trying to get W's. I'm trying to stack these bodies on the beach at first Dreadnought because I'm level 9, and I'm trying to get this W, get that money. Mm-hmm. So when I look at Tanz, I mean, they're a winner. That's just what they're about. And there's no person that wants to, as I keep calling it, you know, what's their held item, a backpack? There's nobody that wants to strap up that backpack for a squad more than Tanz. So, I mean, another player that if I'm looking to start, I know there might be, you know, a split between Vizied and Tanz, but in my mind, they're just kind of they're a package deal to me. That's just how I've always kind of known them and see them. And obviously their execution is together is awesome. But yeah, Tanz specifically, sick carry for sure.
We gotta parent trap them, you know, we got to get them back together. Okay, awesome. Fez, any shouts towards Kit Tent?
Yeah, the dog whisperer himself. He's probably one of the best. He's probably one of the most mechanical players, you know, in EU at the jungle. You know, their talent and dedication is unmatched. They've probably played more games than most people in the last three seasons, rank one every season almost. Like, I don't know, there's not much more you can say that you guys haven't already said, but, you know, I think him leaving what I would say is definitely a friend team in Five Guys, and that team disbanding could be actually good for him. And, you know, there could be more, I don't know, more criticism towards each other that they were giving on Five Guys, because that is definitely an issue when you're playing with five friends. So if his goal is to be super serious and to make worlds, which I definitely think he's talented enough to do, I think it might be best to be in the situation that he's in now.
Yeah, that's a really, really good shout. I don't want to say anything because Peak just put in our chat that if I was at you, I would clone myself three times so I could team with Tans. That's how good this man is. So Peak, also a huge Tans fan. Peak, a Greninja player by themselves as well. So that's a really good shout. These next players, I want to do as a package deal again because I didn't get a response from them. But this is going to be the other two members from Five Guys, and the, you know, after effects of that team splitting up is going to be Potato Uwu and Eberlinger, washed rookie as they go by in game. I don't know. It was always tough to deal with. The attacker player and the top lane player. Potato played a lot more Lucario near the tail end of this tournament series, kind of made their name on the Garchomp solo queue ladder, though. Eberling, one of the best Pikachus in EU. I think they were like one of the only like people who really played it to the highest of levels in that region at the time. I was a huge fan of what they did. I technically don't know if these two players are looking for a team, but I know they don't have an officially announced one yet, or as far as I know. So let's talk about them just a little bit here. Fast, any words to either of these teams, or do you not know these players as well?
Oh, I know these players. I teamed with Eberling. I think he's super talented. He's been playing that bot lane attacker role since season one. And Potato is, I mean, in the nicest way, an absolute psycho when it comes to analyzing what he needs to do on Garchomp. I remember Retsu would ask him, oh, what do you do on Garchomp? He would send him a 5-page document. Like, he would just spam his DMs with every single small, minute detail about Garchomp. He is absolutely crazy. He thinks about the game quite a bit. I think he's super... And he's young. Like, he's a super good talent to build around, I think. He's new, right? He's fairly new to the competitive scene. Like, that was his first team, and, you know, it might be the same situation, like I said, where maybe that criticism wasn't always given to him because the friend buff, right?
Sure. Well, hey, fair enough. That is that's fantastic. I'm really glad that you said those praises to those two guys. I think those are really, really good ones. Potato being crazy in the best way when it comes to technical Garchomp plays is a great shout. I think that's awesome. That character does take an unknown amount of math. You know, any character that can just get deleted if you go too far is going to take careful analyzation to be able to be in that situation. Doofsnax, any shouts towards Potato or Eberling?
Yeah, real quick. If Potato is considered a beginner talent, then not only is top lane players at a premium across every region, but if top lane player at a premium and you're calling somebody that is very, very good a beginner talent, that I've kind of seen in the chat and we've kind of admitted to, you know, there's kind of fresh to the game. Yeah, like that's your building block, right? That's who you start with. The person that can scale as you get closer to worlds. That's exactly what you want. Sure. Of course they can catch fire at the right time. And the fact that they're already this good and they play one of the hardest roles, to fill. I mean, come on.
Sure. Fair enough. All right. Well, let's bring up the last ones that I have listed for EU. I saw Hyatt's LFT post in a Discord just recently. So let's talk about it. Hyatt right now. Bot lane, any role is what they're looking for. The player that put DZ on the map, potentially, that's up to debate. But I think the biggest thing they gotta be known for in the community is the Hyatt ult. The ego damage Eldegoss ult, which was so fun to watch and has now just kind of become a little bit of a turn of phrase amongst the player community. So Hyatt, a player that's been around forever too, I believe, like since the start of the game release as well. So tons of experience, tons of bot lane experience, a really, really strong player in EU, well-known, and DZ was a really good team with a lot of good results. They played in UPL. The guy's got draft experience. That's something. Fez, any more notes on Hyatt?
Like you said, a lot of experience, especially with the support role. You know, he has a term, a phrase named after him for his play. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's sort of an ill-advised joke towards those ultimates,
sure,
to be fair.
Sure.
but obviously he had success in NA with Slash and Bulby. I forget what that team's called. I don't know why I can't remember the name.
Mm.
But he was on that team for a while, right, that had Sanji and stuff.
Yeah, Waterspout, Lifelag, Wind Trader, one of those. One of the W's, yeah, right?
Good morning. Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. I used to be the history lessons with team names. I swear I was. But now it's just fading away. So thank you, Twitch chat, for being able to remember. But okay, yeah, lots of good experience. Dupesnax, any experience? Either casting Hyatt at all?
Well, yeah, we've actually cast DZ specifically a couple times on the channel itself. So that's kind of my only exposure to them, and then watching a little bit of the UPL, because I think they're playing with DZ in that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, they just looked crisp and clean. I wish I could say more, honestly. Yeah. I'm just not necessarily tapped into them.
Mm-hmm.
But everything I've seen from them has been a positive experience, and certainly play the game much better than most. So
yeah, EU is tough for us, let's face it. But that being said, we give it our piece on those players. So those are the players we currently know of. Again, at Twitch chat, there's probably more players looking for team. There's probably some of those we mentioned that already have teams, but again, our apologies. But now we are going to move into North America, and who better to start with than the lovely person within our call right now, Fez. You're looking for team. Let us talk about you just for a little bit before we get to talk about yourself. Dupesnax, talk about Faz for a little bit.
I mean, I'm just an absolute savage defender, right? Shot caller in the bottom lane, keeping people on point, playing forward, aggressive AF. What else is there to say? They're winning tournaments out here.
Yeah, Fez, you've been on one of the most successful teams of all time. You have experienced coaching. You've experienced in other esports. You've been playing out of your Slowbro with some of the best we ever saw. You won an entire tournament on the back of a Blissey late game dunk. So you got definitely a lot on your resume for sure. But Fez, what roles are you looking for? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, what I want to say is awful player, awful person, deserves to be not on a team. That's my opinion on them.
Hot take, hot take.
Yeah, I think it's a mid take. Yeah, I think most people would agree.
Okay, but sure.
Yeah, I just want to stick to defender, really. Okay. Yeah, I'm just sticking to defender. I can play anything but.
Sure. Yeah, but that sounds good. That is what you're going to be playing. Awesome. Guys, we're trying to sell Fez, but he sells himself by just with the knowledge that he's given so far. So you already know it. Let's move on. This is the one that Dupesnax always affectionately calls the Boozy. But this is going to be Big Uzi himself. He's in chat. Let's talk him up a little bit. One of my favorite moments that I've ever had casting was when they popped off and was actually able to take down Gaming Gladiators, the low expectations run in that qualifiers. Huge Greninja ult, huge Surf reset KOs was freaking super awesome to watch, especially in that game too. I was screaming my head off. Ton of fun. Neighbors hate me. But because he's been a great jungle player, filled for a ton of teams, filled for teams like Ascendance, Good Morning, was on Low Expectations, has played with these rosters so often. And when I say sub for Ascendance, I mean like constantly. Like every now and then, like every second week you're have a scheduled scrim with Ascendants and Big Uzi's in the lobby. So has played with the best of the best and is, I would say, considered among them. But Dupesnax, talk to me about Boozy.
I mean, you just said it. I mean, if you have a player that, you know, that can literally eviscerate what a lot of people consider one of the best teams going in NA, and absolutely just turned the tide of a game, something that seemed a bit desperate into a big old W. I mean, that speaks for itself. That KO streak of 3-4 down on the beach, absolutely nasty business. Loved watching that. And, of course, you came unglued in the best way possible. Shout out to Big Uzi.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, sorry, I'm also just doing some last minute additions to our list here. But, okay.
What I would say for Big Uzi is he's super underrated and people give him a lot of flack, but just because of, you know, the stuff he can say sometimes.
Sure, yes.
But I think he's super underrated, super talented, and he has some really big wins that I don't think people realize, and they're in situations where he's usually subbing, or it's a brand new team that they've, like, they're very, like, out of nowhere wins, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. That's, underrated is a great way to describe that, like, every single tournament that Uzi plays and he's getting at top places, and we're saying, wow, what a surprise, Big Uzi at the end of this bracket in the top three. I mean, how many times can we say it's a surprise before we should have just been expecting it the whole time, right? So Big Uzi with a ton of value to their team name got into the top 16 in March. Low expectations, not the run they would have wanted in AOS, however, still have some championship points to their name as well. So going to be also an important thing to remember going forward. Now, let's jump to the next member of their team, who I also see in chat. I'm so glad everybody's hanging out. We have Nish. Oh, I spelled his name wrong. That's embarrassing. It's like a Sanji in the Unite for Ukraine situation again. Okay. Nish is also here. Low expectations player. Wants to fill for support or defender. Bit of the history on this player. Has played for Sucker Punch Gold, which turned into Relentless, but then found a ton of success on Low Expectations. Was on that TTV killer squad that got them into AOS Cup. Again, not the placement they would have wanted, but seriously, this player has gotten so much praise. The thing I've heard, like, from around the scene everywhere, is that Nish, like, learns so fast. Like, went from a player who did really well on ladder, wanted to get the competitive scene, and then, like, immediately was caught up to speed and playing on, like, a top team and contending with the best. Like, honestly, Nish, if we want a poster boy for the Unite Championship Series, and, like, you know, we get you to sign up and earn those Hollowware tickets, and then, you know, actually competing with the best, Nish might be it.
I mean, just an example of what you brought up. I coached Low Expectations a lot the last, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I would tell Nish to, like, I would bring Nish into a call. I would show him something he did wrong, something he could do next time. And the very next game, he did it and got a double kill. And we were both laughing. We were both laughing because awesome. It was literally the exact same situation to happen. And he did it perfectly. And yeah, there's not much more to be said about this player's ability to pick up on information. They have bought coaching for me. They've bought coaching for Mike. They're putting so many hours, money into getting those reps in and that information. I think they are one of the most underrated defenders in the game right now that's not picked up. So yeah, they definitely deserve a spot. I would consider them like potato, but like NA.
Okay, awesome. There we go. But NA's potato. I don't know if Nish wants that title, but we gave it to him. So there you go, buddy. Dupes next. Any more thoughts on Nish?
Yeah, just that in the games we actually watched, because you and I were doing some casting of the commentary, and obviously we got to watch them play, everything that Faz just said, you could literally watch develop in full time during a game as well, which not only means they're making adjustments in between games, but they're maybe able to make, like, learn lessons on the hop and make those adjustments in game as well, which is, of course, invaluable in, you know, if we're considering them like a great beginner talent, beginner just because of their time in the game, not because their skill level is lower by any means, obviously. I think that's an incredible feather to have in your cap, especially if you're trying to break into the competitive scene. And just another position that is at a premium, and you need a good anchor in that bottom path. That's just how the game is played right now. And they can definitely do it.
Absolutely. I've seen some questions in the Twitch chat. Do we have a list of all these players so we can keep track and things like that? I will probably edit a Google Doc quick and then post it after this episode, just with all the players that we did talk about. I'll put it on my Twitter And you can go see it there. Unfortunately, I just don't have the resources to make it happen right now. But after this episode, I'll make sure it happens for you guys. Also, sorry to say to you two guys, I think we need to speed this up just a little bit. We're already going quite a bit of time. We got a lot more players to get through. So let's just move it. Maybe we'll just have like one or two people start talking about these players. But the next one, no stranger to the competitive Pokemon Unite scene, Redlove has chosen to leave Tacenda and is now, to my knowledge, currently looking for a team. A player where definitely the entire team's focus ends up being surrounding them because they have the pop-off potential, a team leader, very, very confident, can really be a big playmaker in-game. Dupes next. Any more thoughts on Redlove?
I want them to succeed. It's so badly. The amount of time they spend in the game, you know, I don't know what the team compositions are by any means, you know, like what the comms are like. But I want them to succeed because they play so much and like want to win so badly, that I want them to find a home that they can feel comfortable in and stay with for an extended period of time so they can find that for themselves.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, they're a great player, right? I mean, they're playing bot lane attacker literally for Tacenda, switched to jungle for a while, came back, and I was watching them play Slowbro for them. So, I mean, the diversity for their skill set is there as well, and just a good player.
Yeah, that's huge. Well, okay, awesome. I think we're just going to do this one person at a time. Talk about. So, Faz, why don't you talk to me about Sneaky Seal?
Sneaky is like Big Uzi, where you would see them a lot in other people's scrims and stuff. I think they have a ton of experience. You know, they're ringing and subbing for a ton of these top teams. Yeah, they're super talented.
Sneaky Seal, I have to touch on it, is the homie. Like, I love Sneaky. I'm a huge fan of what they can do. Their creativity sometimes can get the best of them, but they seriously are so good at what they do. Attacker role, fantastic player, and the brain on that player is huge. Very, very creative. They can find solutions to tough problems in-game, out-of-game, and then, of course, the dude's, like, hysterical. If you turn into a stream, you're laughing. You're laughing your butt off. So, shout-outs to Sneaky Seal. I really hope they find a home soon. Gloxic.
Can I get the next one?
Yeah, baby. Go talk about your homie Gloxic.
Okay, so, you know, I know we said good vibes and all, but man, Gloxic, in the last month, this man has put so much work into Foreign Famous. He's, you know, not sleeping. He has to take his son to school, take his wife to work. He has to play scrims, and then he has to work, and he's taking his break off to play scrims, and they did him so dirty. It is unbelievable what I witnessed. They had zero success, zero results prior to him. It is an absolute... It's devastating what I witnessed, and the way they did it, oh my god, I just can't believe it. Just someone give him a home. He is so dedicated. He is a great player. He can play anything bot lane. Foreign Famous, you're absolutely just, I don't know. I want to say stuff. I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, thank you. No, but I mean, the sentiments are there. Twitch chat is completely agreeing with you. There's a lot of facts being said right now. Gloxic, though, you're right. The homie. And let's face it, all these players we're talking about, like, they're these top players for a reason. They should not have that hard of a time finding a home. I'm sure Gloxic will see one soon. But yes, they were done dirty, but a phenomenal player. And like, yeah, you mentioned the dedication is so there. So much work put in by that player. Why don't you talk about our next player here, Doomsnax? And they're actually looking for a bit of a different role.
Yeah, absolutely. So Sloth looking to coach. And obviously, as a player, they're phenomenal. That goes without saying.
They played for Sucker Punch, was the what team they were playing on.
Yeah. They got skills in the spades. Here's my thing about coaching specifically. If your team lands themselves a good coach, specifically, you know, they already say, you know, they got actual trash to a top 16. Faz has coached a team to a top 16. You look at Exelon on Blackhand, one of the only teams that has had a long-standing coach for as long as they have. They're the most consistent squad going. I mean, I you know, the proof is in the pudding. The coaches make the difference right now.
Okay.
And Slothgoss on a fresh team, on a new team, especially one forming itself right now, could be, you know, just kind of the pep in the step, the rocket in the ass to move you forward. So that's that's my vouch for not only Sloth looking for the coaching role, but coaches in general that are of high as high caliber as they are. So that's my two cents.
Definitely. Cool. Yeah. So we won't, not looking for a player position right now. They're looking for coach. I see some, asking in chat, like how much he's charging. That's a good shout. Slothgoss, if you're here, say how much you're charging. Also make sure to find them on Discord. And I know that they'll be willing to talk with you and figure that out. But awesome. I'm going to talk about this next player, and that's going to be Echo. So Echo is a player for SKT. They were playing with them for a while now. They are looking for jungle, top lane support, or defense. So very open to a lot of positions, obviously. They feel very comfortable in those situations. Like I said, they've played on SKT and they played on Outkast. And one of the biggest shouts for Echo right now is that they actually played a little bit of a pro Heroes of the Storm 2013 to 2015. I don't know exactly at what level. I didn't follow that scene close enough to know every single name. But seriously, though, any experience outside of Unite in a competitive game is still experience that I think we should value a lot. So Echo is a player I want to give a huge shout out to and can fill so many roles. So if you're looking especially to build a brand new team, a multi-tool like Echo would be a fantastic spot for your squad. This next one, Dupesnack, if you want to talk a little bit about LKJ, LKJ is a player who did tweet out a retirement announcement recently. I don't know if that is just, you know, a quick response. Maybe they'll take it back, but they definitely are looking for a spot. They're currently looking for defender. Dupesnacks, say what you will about this player.
When I saw that retirement tweet, I was absolutely gutted. Just because we've gotten to watch them play on IX so much, and they were truly, to me, you know, when you'd watch literally the anchoring factor of that bottom path. One of the few reasons that that bottom path was coalesced moving together. And to me, that's obviously critically important. Just a good leadership mentality in them, their skill set to boot. I mean, again, when we're talking about just forming a new team, you have to look for things that aren't just skill sets within the game, you know, pressing the buttons. Obviously, that's important. Mm-hmm. When you look at LKJ, you know, I mean, they've got it. They can be the shot caller in the bottom path. They can help carry you through. They can help new players develop and learn on the fly. Sure. They can make the right call and, you know, show why that call is correct in the action as it happens. You know, I was just gutted when I saw the retirement thing. I hope it's not true. I hope they find their way back, and I hope they find themselves a home that they're happy with. But you know, of course, all the best for LKJ, 100%.
Absolutely agree. All right, Faz, talk to me about the jungler Mitzeline.
I know they played for IX, and they played a lot of Cinder, Ninja, and Talon, I believe. I don't know, because I feel like that player definitely had like success, but I feel like that roster never fully developed as you know they probably should have on paper.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just a chain of scenery that would really like boost their numbers up and boost their accolades.
Right? Yeah, I think Mitzeline is a really interesting pickup right now because I know that in the past they have experimented with both the Venusaur and the Blastoise jungle. Mm-hmm. So since those spots are coming up right now, I really think that they could be a force right now to any team picking them up. So they have some experience and a little bit of knowledge in a current meta like this. That can go a long way. Let's talk about another coach. Faz, how much do you know about Laz?
A lot.
All right. Talk to me about Lazadin then.
So last time Laz went looking for coach, or LFC, I guess we're going to call it.
Sure, yeah.
they had offers from every single top team in NA, besides obviously Blackhand.
Wow.
And they decided that they made the mature decision that because they're new to coaching and because it was a new thing for them, that they were going to create their own thing from the ground up. And cool. I think Astra was a team that was just below qualifying for like two different months, right?
Yeah, they were just outside of that top 60 or top 12 or whatever it was. I think 13th. So yeah, so close. Top 10 in G4 though. In the most recent G4, the Dupesnacks, the one that you casted, Astra went on a little bit of a tear there. So that was a good spot there.
Not only are they super knowledgeable because of obviously their math cord, stuff, but they're just one of the nicest, most like friendly guys you'll ever talk to. Absolutely. I definitely think there's gonna be huge success in his future, whether he decides to coach a big team, whatever he decides to do.
Yeah, no kidding. I think that is a great shout. I love Les. I haven't interacted with them as much, but the amount of data that they provide to the community, it's just absolutely phenomenal. Like, yeah. Lazen puts in so much work, and like, dude, I doubt they're getting paid for that. So fantastic work, Lazenin. Let's talk about a person that is about to be on the show just a little bit later. Like I said, we're short on time, so we got to do it quick. Junkie GS is the support player coming on Dupesnext. You're going to get so much time to talk to them in a second. Let me talk about Junkie. Junkie is an amazing player. Amazing communication. We're talking about that low expectation squad that brought down. Oh, I should actually put them up on the screen. Yes, they were on that low expectation squad that took down Gaming Gladiators. Phenomenal. Really adapted to the Hoopa well when that Pokemon was introduced. I think they showcased a ton of good work on it. And in the Google Doc that they sent me, I asked if they wanted any more details shared, and they referenced, look at the most popular clip on our channel for a reference of how good of a player they are. And I believe it's the one that Junkie made of us casting Junkie doing the epic, you know, breaking the defense of Gaming Gladiators, throwing the portal down, and they got the Zapdos in that situation. So Junkie GS, you're gonna hear a ton more about that player in just a few minutes though on Late Night Unite, which is gonna start off at 10:30 central, so in about 30 minutes. So again, let's keep cruising. Faz, I want you to talk about Chaotic because Dupesnext already did just a little bit before.
Oh, okay. I mean, we were talking about them before with the Jungle Book situation. I mean, I think Jungle Book was sort of like out just due to IRL reasons, but you know, it could be a situation where they also just thought he was better at the moment, right?
Yeah. And
with everything we said about Jungle Book, like, he really fit in nicely. They had a ton of success with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe he was just a placeholder for Jungle Book till he got back, but he didn't deserve that. He deserves a lot more, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. It really showcased a lot of potential in this most recent AOS Cup tournament. Their Greninja looked phenomenal. Like, they were picking up multi KOs all over the place. So, big shouts there. Dupesnext, I know you haven't had as much experience with Slicey, but talk about them just a little bit by their accolades.
Yeah, so Floatstone Gaming was kind of the team that coalesced, what, 2 days before was it the February finals came in and just took a tournament by storm, to be quite frank. I know everybody's like kind of counting them out as a team. And of course, Slicey was on that squad. I mean, it was just good. I mean, what do you want to do? It's just another good player that's looking for an opportunity to make their name. Obviously, they have the skill set. If they're able to pull it together with four other players from the Floatstone Discord server and get themselves in the top 16 in February, you know, there's just heavy skill there. And unfortunately, Slicey, I wish I could say more about your specific play. I just haven't cast you that much, and I haven't gotten to watch enough play to say deeper rooted stuff. So I apologize for that, but I mean, just the Floatstone story to in of itself and their skill set there speaks the world, in my opinion. So Slicely, find yourself a home, kid.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Also, sorry if my mic's been peeing in chat, I'm really sorry about that. But Slicey, Gardevoir extraordinaire, but has branched out recently to be playing a lot more characters. So the next person we have is a later ad, but I am Squill. I am. So, a newer player to me and the rest of the guys on here, but however, is a jungle player that really wants to prove themselves. They said that they have been playing in tournaments, don't have any huge placements at the top level, but really, really want to get there. And I know I've seen them quite a few times. They were a fantastic jungle Talonflame player. They are willing to look and, you know, try to train up, get better at other Pokemon as well. But the Talonflame is definitely their big showcase. So if you're looking at I Am Squill I Am, take a look at their Talonflame play. You'll really see why they're out there. Next one up, Faz, talk to me about the attacker player of Tibasol.
Yeah, another one of those IX players. I think that it would be great for them to possibly be in a new scenario where they can get out of their funk, you know? I felt like that roster, you know, it was a long time coming for them to break apart, and I'm glad that they did, because I feel like a lot of them could have success individually.
Yeah.
Tim has been playing that. It's almost like that, Red Love role where we said where the cup is like based around their attacker pick, and they are there to pop off. They're there to solo carry the game, right? Mm.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I have talked about my favorite Pikachu players quite a bit on this show and around. Tibasol is at the top of that list. I love, love, love watching Tibasol play. Dupesnex, talk to me about anything you know about Rima.
I've actually gotten to play in a five stack awesome. With them, and they're really good. I mean, that's I got to experience it firsthand as I was trying to grief the whole squad and drag everybody down in the unsexiest, most unceremonious way possible. They were able to step in and actually carry. So, big shout out to them. We were both in the bottom path. It was a good time. But yeah, from personal experience, they are a very good player. We've gotten to watch them play a little bit. You and I have, and of course, nothing speaks more than direct experience. And this is one of the few players I actually have direct experience with.
That's awesome.
And they are very good. Big shouts to them. 100%.
Big shouts to Rima. I know as well that they were streaming just mostly only focused on that for a while, but I know that recently, the last couple of months, they've really made a pivot and want to play competitively and are very dedicated and very focused. So I know that Rima, like, she really believes in herself. They have so many people that believe in her as well. She can definitely make it. So look at Rima as a great attacker player and a great pickup. Another one of those attacker players as well is going to be Katie. I believe they went by Katie Bug before, but they just submitted as Katie. So I don't want to call them the wrong thing or anything. But Katie is looking for jungle support or attacker. They're one of the players for Astra. So this was the team that Lazarus coached. So they have that accolade. Top 10 in the recent G4 tournament. They are comfortable on pretty much every role is the shout that they're giving. So really, really big shouts. Check out Katie Bug and the rest of the Astra squad. They're looking to find a spot to play. And they proved themselves in tournament already. They're looking to try to prove it in officials. So make sure to pick them up. The rest of the two, I'm just going to go over real quick. We got Joe. Joe in Flowstone is actually looking for a coaching role. I think the way they submitted, they basically answered your mom for every one of the questions. So if you're looking, Joe, good luck out there. And the last one is going to be a Team Relentless member of Barnwell. So Barnwell is a player they were playing on that Team Relentless squad, is looking for an attacker or defender position. What they were mentioning is that they've been grinding out ladder a ton. They have ended at least top 500 with a lot higher placings every single season. So Barnwell, another player to definitely be looking out for. But so we're getting a lot of vouches, by the way, for Katie and Barnwell in chat. So the community believes in these two for sure. But because of time constraints, guys, sorry, I know we had to rush so much there at the end of the show. I want to give everybody just a little bit of a chance to plug any stuff that they need to. Dupesnex, go ahead, plug all your stuff.
I mean, Late Night Unite here in about 20 minutes with Junkie GS. Stay on the channel. We're gonna have to drop the channel down for a second so we can kind of swap who's on the Streamlabs account, but we'll get that going right at 11:30.
Yes. So first off, my apologies to Dupesnex and Junkie for this butting up so close to it, but thank you for being willing to come on the show. Faz, plug everything that you'd like to. Where can people find you?
Faz AHP on Twitter and Twitch, and I just wanted to thank you guys for, you know, doing this for the community, both NA and EU, and just having me be a part of this. This is great.
Yeah, no, of course. We always love to have an actual player insight when talking about all the players. So glad you can keep us looking smart in front of the community like this. But you can find me at Twitter at ZoinksCast. Of course, all of our stuff is posted onto the YouTube at youtube.com/UniteMikes. That's going to be this show, Overdunk, as well as the Late Night Unite, the solo interview show that Dupesnex runs. All gets posted over there. Overdunk is on Spotify, Apple, all that good stuff. If you're there already, make sure to rate and 5 stars or whatever. Let more people find the show and get involved in the Unite scene. Last thing I want to say, tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. Central, I'm going to have the NA winners of Full Send coming on the show to talk about their tournament run. It's going to be Overdunk episode 26. It's going to be awesome. But thank you, everybody, for hanging out, listening to the LFT episode. Thank you for those that submitted and got showcased on the show. It means a lot to us that you want us to help showcase you. It really does. Unite Mics, we're so excited. We got the chance to cast Chaos Cup, and just really what it confirms to us is that we are a part of the community, and that's really all that Dupe Snacks and I want. It means the world to us that you guys have been so welcoming and trust us to try to showcase some of these players. But I've talked so much, and I've talked well enough. You've heard my voice way too often recently. Let's end the show there. I have been Zoinks. They have been Dupe Snacks and Fez. This has been Overdunk. We'll see you all in 20 minutes for Late Night Unite. See you guys.